And but you know, church, the thing about it is we don't have to work hard to make the vision happen. You see, what we really got to do is we got to let the vision work in us. And sometimes we think the busier we are and the harder we go at it, the more great things are going to happen. But you know, it's just quite the opposite. As we're whittling away on the back side of the tree, God's already got it finished on the other side. So our vision is to allow the vision to lead us. But thanks for your work, because you've given us something to teach with. Y'all give them a hand. It's the Bubba Gang from Hiawatha. Well, here's the deep question. How many of y'all are excited that we've made it together into 08? You're here. No, I don't think you get it. You're here. How many of y'all are glad to be here? You're here. And so I'm going to take just a few moments, and I want us to pray before we even get started, because you know what? I want you to do more than get the vision this January. This isn't about just understanding that we want to connect people to Jesus. We want to see people healed and healthy, and we want to develop into players in the kingdom of God. It's more than that. And so here's what, if you're bold enough to receive this prayer, receive it. Now, if you don't want it, don't receive it, okay? I'm talking about getting the attitude of the vision. See, if you really look, the people in the church that get this, they're about it. Now, a lot of people in our church, if I ask you this question and help you, what's the number one thing we believe in doing, what would you tell me? Okay, see, there we go. Leading people and connecting people to Jesus. And let me tell you what I want to tell you about that message. Yes! Amen. Yes! Now, let me ask you a question. Remember, we stood here a year ago, exactly 365 days or so ago, a year ago, and there was a challenge by this crazy guy that talks to you and yells at you and then jumps up and down and does all kinds of crazy things for 52 Sundays out of the year. And guess what? I challenged you. Is there another person in this world now in the kingdom of God because you chose to share Jesus in 07? And if there is, you go, cool. If there's not, guess what? And I don't go get the guilties. But if there's not, I really want to see you get this vision this year. Okay? We're moving to the next dimension, if you will. And that's the your life makes a difference in the kingdom of God. And this is very scriptural. And you know what? It's tough, because guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to let God whittle away from us what we think so we can see what He's done. See, a lot of us want faith on our terms. How many of y'all are kind of like that? Well, I'm going to follow God if God will do this, this, and this. Well, that's a false gospel. God says, I've made you, I've recreated you, I love you, and these are the words, these are constant words of Jesus. You follow me. Aren't those the words of Jesus? How many times does He say that to His disciples? You follow me. You know why He has to say that? Because you and I have a habit of following everything else. That's just a knack we got. Just kind of a thing we do, isn't it? Now guess what? I'm not going to ask you to follow. Now, everybody listening? Say, I'm listening. If you're listening, say, I'm listening. I'm going to ask you to follow the Jesus of the vision. The vision is not Jesus. The vision gives us handles so that together we might follow Jesus. Does that make sense? But the vision wasn't crucified and resurrected. It was the Savior that was crucified and resurrected. So how many of y'all are glad to know that we follow the person that is the Son of God, who has been crucified and who has been resurrected? Amen. Okay, now, so this ought to be an 08. It's all about attitude. Life is really about attitude. How many of y'all had a good week this week? Watch this, I'm going to blow you away. How many of y'all chose to take the power of the Holy Spirit and have a godly week? See, here's the way I view it. I believe God's always on. I believe God is always on. He is always on. No matter what, He's on. God always wants to love you. God always wants to bless you. God always wants to encourage you. God always wants to forgive you. God desires that we would be healed and would be healthy. God's always on. 100%. And I believe that we have some human responsibility to choose to follow God. If not, I propose this question to you. Why did Jesus keep saying to His disciples, "You follow Me"? If He had to say that, it sounds like that they had some choice not to follow Him. He said, "You follow what? Me." Now, is that not really our challenge every morning that we wake up? Every morning we wake up with us, and we wake up with the potential of who we could be in Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't know about you, but some days I live out my potential in Christ. Some days I do that. Some days I don't. Some days I can have prayer time and then blow it by the time I get to the office. How many of y'all have ever done that? How many of y'all have awakened and said, "Woke up"? How many of y'all have awakened? Sound like the Bubba's whittling. How many of y'all have ever awakened and said, "All right, this is the day the Lord has made, and I'm really going to live out the things Jesus wants me to do"? And in about 5 minutes from that statement, you've blown everything Jesus wants you to do that day. Amen. Guess what? But God hadn't changed His 100% mind about you that day. And so it's for us to really engage, okay? So I want us to pray. There's a threefold prayer. First of all, that you would embrace the vision. You would embrace it. Now, some of you have been around Hillview for a long time. Guess what? Here's my prayer for you. Don't grow tired of the vision. Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Do not get weary in doing good." Nick Carter, guess what? You've been here a long time. Came here a single man. Now you're a remarried man. Producing children later in life like Father Abraham. I mean, you've had a lot happen to you in your travels at Hillview. Amen? Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. The third thing is this. Don't take for granted what God is doing. How many of y'all take for granted what God is doing? I expect God to do great things, but you know what? We got to submit to God to do great things, okay? And we're going to talk a little bit about what does it mean to really not just believe this vision, state it, but to be involved in it, to let it become our attitude, to let it shape us, okay? So let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this great congregation. And the only reason they're great is because you're making us that way. Lord, we thank You for a beautiful 18 years experience. Lord, we know that isn't even a blink in Your eye, but Lord, we thank You for it because it's a long time in ours. Lord, we pray that many people, how many of you, just listen to this prayer for a minute. How many of you all would pray that many people would come to know Jesus Christ in 2008? Come on, I want you to hear that in prayer. Many people would come to know Jesus Christ in 2008. And Lord, I pray that we never grow weary, that we don't get weary in doing well, doing good. And then I pray this, that we will be encouraged to be who You've made us, Jesus, in the name of Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. First question, how many of y'all glad to be a part of Hillview? Okay, all right, great. I'm glad that you're here, all right? I'm glad to be a part of Hillview. I mean, this excites me as a pastor. Did you all know that you're one of the few churches that I've ever pastored that I go to would want to come back to on vacation? I mean, it's rough to be away from here on a Sunday. You know why? Because I don't want to miss what God's going to do. God's going to do something. Other churches, man, I live from vacation to vacation. Thank You, God, that I don't have to go to this morning. I am glad. Watch this. And you know if that's the feeling of the pastor, imagine what goes on down to the congregation. I pastored a church where Elizabeth would wake me up at 9 o'clock, and I had a Sunday school class I taught at 9:30. And she said, "Honey, you got to get up. You're the teacher." I was so worn out by people doing the same thing with no expectations. Have y'all ever been there? And I was young and I sat there and I said, there's no way that this can be what Jesus Christ died for. There's just no way that this is what the gospel is. I would sit in church Sunday after Sunday and all I would hear is grumblings and mumblings and all of these. I said, there's no way that this is what's in the book. Where's the love and where's the joy and where's the peace and where's the patience and where's the faithfulness and where's the goodness and where's the self-control? I tell you where it is. It's in a submission to, I will follow Him. Amen. Now the first step into this vision at Hillview is you got to know some of the things we believe. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So if you're going to hang out here, you're going to hear a lot about Jesus, okay? We're about Jesus. So why are you about Jesus? If you notice, what name troubles everybody? Oh, I could stand on the public square and pray to the superior higher power, God of creation, and guess what? Not a spark would fly. You know that, Anna? Not a spark would fly. I mean, I could talk about that there's a God within us all, and everybody would say what? Amen. I could talk about a superior, superfluous higher power. And guess what everybody would do? Well, good. If I say in the name of Jesus, woo, hair starts rising up on the back of people's necks. If I say in the name of Jesus, may this city be blessed. Well, guess what? When I say that, now I've pronounced a prayer with authority. And when you go with authority, then there's going to be friction. See, as long as you just talk about a possibility, everybody will be happy, believer or not believer. But when you start talking about absolute certainty, then you say, in the name of Jesus. We believe in Jesus here. Is Jesus absolute? Absolutely. Now, here's what I want you to know. This is a radical church. I want you to know what we believe. We believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's John 14:6. Why do we believe that? Because we want to be exclusive and selective? No, because we want to be accurate in what Jesus said. Go there to John 14:6 so you can see it. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He said, no one. Now, is anybody confused about that word? Look there if you got your Bible. Look there. We got it on the giant screen there. Look. No one. Let me have a discussion here. I want you to talk. Is anybody confused with the phrase, no one? Is that pretty clear? Do you need a PhD to interpret that phrase right there? In the Greek, guess what that says? No one. Guess what it would say in Hebrew? Guess what it says in Spanish? Guess what it says in German? Guess what it says in Russian? Guess what it means? Not you. No exception. Now I know, wait a second, let me pause because Dale, I'm in America. And in America, we all believe that doesn't apply to me. Don't you all do that? The 70 mile an hour speed limit, that's y'all's speed limit. How many of y'all think like that? Huh? Don't cut in line meant what? Y'all don't cut in line. How many of y'all think like that? Now this is why it's hard to minister in America. Guess what? A majority of Americans believe that's not true. Majority of America believes that's not true. Here's what they believe. So you need to know what people believe. They believe if you're a good person and do a few good deeds in this lifetime, that you'll end up going to heaven. You know who taught them that? Disney. They grew up on Disney. I'm not dusting Disney. Disney has a lot of good things. The problem is good things won't save you. Jesus will. And this is where we're strangely confused Because we're going to have a lot of people. And they're going to stand before Jesus and they're going to go, wait a minute, I did an angel tree. And wait a minute, I gave $5 to the Salvation Army. And wait a minute, I took some turkeys down to Teresa's and fed some hungry people. And wait a minute, I gave some clothes to folks. Wait a minute. And God's going to say, but I don't know you. He said, but Lord, I did some good stuff. So you got to know the vision. How many of you all are this far along? I can't do enough good stuff to get to heaven. Amen. Okay, now you got to get there to understand this church. Because some of y'all are going to be ticked off. You're going to come. You've come from churches. You got nice, clean-looking haircuts. You dress up in nice, Christian-looking clothes. And you do a little good, a lot of good works. But you don't know Jesus. That's why you're so mad all the time. You're doing this good stuff, and it's not blessing your life. Because it's not the blesser. Jesus is. Does this make sense? Now, here's what he said. I am the way, and I am. Put that back up there. I am the way and the truth and the life. How many of y'all believe what he said? This is a crazy verse. This will cause you to be controversial. Now, you don't have to work on being controversial. Just follow that. Oh, you wouldn't believe the blisterings I've taken over the nation. When people ask me, well, do you believe that other faith groups are going to heaven? I said, first of all, y'all are standing in a judgment call that only the judge can call. Only God himself makes judgment. I said, however, I do know his boy. His name is Jesus. And here's what he said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So the real question isn't what I believe about them, it's what you believe about the one he sent. He's either the truth or he's a liar. He can't be both and. He's either or. He's either the Son of God or it's a great sham. He either is going to do what he said he's going to do or none of it's going to happen anyway. Isn't this the truth? But we at Hillview believe Jesus Christ is the real deal. He died on the cross. He's risen from the grave. That's real. That happens. That continues to happen in our lives. There are results of people that are changed because they've given their lives to Christ. Amen? So if you don't like Jesus, you're probably not going to like hanging out at this church. Because we like Jesus. Now here's some things we believe about Jesus. He's the Son of God. He was crucified so that our sin would be forgiven. He's been resurrected, meaning he's alive. This is a current event. How many of y'all glad to know in 08 Jesus is a current event? Amen. It's a current event. And how many of you believe this message? Now, Freddie, here's why I'm starting this message. Somebody going, well, I already knew that. I challenge you. You don't know it in 08 like you're supposed to. Listen, can I just be blunt? Please don't be a fool. Just don't be stupid. God does not get excited about stupidity. Amen. I mean, I want you to know from your pastor the truth. And this is one of the most stupid things you can ever say. Well, I've gone past the gospel. I need something deeper in my speech. You're just a dork in the name of Jesus. No, I'm telling you the truth. Now, you may be offended about that, but let me ask you a question. How can it go any deeper than all of your sin being forgiven? Amen. See, the devil's got your mind. You say, well, I need something else besides the gospel. There's nothing else but the gospel. Amen. There's not like, you know, you get the gospel and then the chrome wheels to go with it. The chrome wheels come with the gospel.
Amen.
The missionary heart comes with the gospel. Let me help you with this. Some of you are confused about this. The Holy Spirit comes with the gospel. Amen. Hello? Amen. Y'all aren't awake today. I got people running around telling me, well, now I've been saved, but I need a second blessing. Maybe you need to live out the first one. What you're saying is you want to get with a bunch of religious people and get a tangle. And you think if you get a holy tangle, then you're living in faith. Amen. Absolutely. Now, is there power in the Holy Spirit? You better believe it. The day you ask Jesus into your life, guess what? The Holy Spirit totally forgave you of all your sins. And the Holy Spirit has totally entered into your life. 110% power. Now, here's the question. Are you going to use it? Now, that one's on your valve. God's already charged you up. Some of y'all are looking around trying to get some more. That's why we have books like the Prayer of Jabez. You need to expand your territory. Lord, you ain't used the territory you've been given yet. What do you need an expansion for? Also, you need to understand between First Covenant and Second Covenant. God said the kingdom is near, it's yours, it's everything, it's Him. Live it out. Okay, watch this. Don't be worried if you get snookered in America, because it's easy to get snookered in America. Watch this. We could fill the church up together. We'd have 10,000 people here if I'd preach. If you follow Jesus, you'll get more. We would, brother. Watch this. I can lay back, not give you the gospel, tell everybody they can come. Oh, we'll fill it up with yuppies. I tell them they look better, they feel better, everything's going to be better. All you got to do is let Jesus touch your life, and you're going to wake up in the morning with a little zam and bam about you. Your personality is going to be positive, and your prosperity is going to be on its way. It'll fill up in here. Now, a lot of people go to hell, but it'll fill up in here. You'll just be going to hell in a Cadillac. You'll drive up and say, Lord, look at all the stuff you gave me. He's going to go, I didn't give you none of that. Then the devil's going to be over there going, well, you know, I kind of helped out a little. Because what I didn't want you to become aware of is that Jesus would forgive you of your sin. So who whittles the vision in us? Jesus. He whittles out sin in our life. How many of y'all glad to know sin is gone? Now, there's also something else you got to know. We believe Jesus to be resurrected. Now, you got to know these two symbols here. The cross, our sin has been forgiven. Anybody excited about that? Anybody excited? Now, I want to hear. How many of y'all excited about that? All right. 08 challenge. 08 challenge. 08 challenge. Here's what you got to remember. Every day you wake up, you need to thank God you've been forgiven. Here's what I find in America. We're ungrateful about forgiveness. Am I on there? I mean, we kind of walk around like we deserve to be forgiven. But we do. See, if you're going to live in America, you got to understand the dilemma of your culture. We all fight arrogance. That's why we push and shove each other in the line, because I should be up front. That's why when you coach Little League Baseball, every parent thinks they have an all-star. It's our arrogance. That I somehow am better than everybody else. Now, here's the beauty of Jesus. Jesus says we're all the same, and He loves us all the same because He forgives all of us. Do you understand that? Now, that's the power of the cross. Now, here's the power of the resurrection. It's present and it's relevant. Does that word connect? When you think of the resurrection, you need to think Jesus is relevant. Is that cool? That means Jesus is doing today what God has called us to be about. Today Jesus is on. How many of y'all glad to know that in 2008, Jesus is as powerful as He was in 2,000 years ago? Amen. In 2008, Jesus is relevant. Grasp that. So I've been forgiven and I've been empowered for a relevant moment. Now, so what's the vision? First of all, we got to connect people. That's what the C stands for. Now, there's three dimensions to the C. Give me a three. There's three.
Three.
There's three.
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 C. Say it for me. Connect.
Connect.
Okay, you got to get this. Connect.
Connect.
What's the first connection point? God has connected to us. Now, you can't get this reversed. God connects. How many of y'all glad to know that God found you before you found Him? So you got to keep this in order. God's in charge. Just look at your neighbor and tell him God is in charge. Come on, tell him God is in charge. God is in charge. So the first connection, you got to realize this stuff. I've been forgiven by God. I'm resurrected in Christ. My Jesus life is relevant right now. It's on. It's current. It's active. And you got to remember this. God's in charge. Now, if God's in charge, I'm going to ask you some questions today. Do you all think God wants to see people connected to Him? What do you think, Deanna? Do you? Shane? What about it, brother? What do you think? Yeah? What about in the back row back here? Wayne Dean, does God want to see people connected? You stood up here a few Sundays ago and you came to the realization, the historical fact, that there's about 4% of this generation, 35 and down, connected to the gospel. You started to care. Did y'all realize that? 35 and down in America. About 4% is Christian. And y'all want prayer in school? Better get your rugs out. Better get your rugs out in their generation. You better be careful toting your religious politics in a day and age in America where Christianity will be the minority religion. But I got good news. See, that I don't sweat that because my Jesus is not a religion. So that doesn't tear me up. He's a relationship. And nobody can tear the relationship down. So see the difference? You can get religion out of schools, but you can't get Jesus out of schools. And if you really look, isn't a lot of our public stuff just religion? We think if we say a nice platitude of God, then everybody's going to behave. Principal Eric, guess what? You can hang the Ten Commandments up in the school hallways and they will not change conduct at all. They didn't do it for Moses' crew. I don't know why they're going to do it for yours. Did y'all realize that? And he had the fresh copy. He didn't even have Xerox commandments. He had the ones God himself had touched on the tablet. Remember, he had to go get a Xerox pair because he threw the first ones down, remember? But that didn't stop human sin. What stops human sin, what puts the brakes on human sin, is Jesus' forgiveness. Everybody understand that? So the first thing we're connecting people to is they can be forgiven and they can have a new life. I'm going to say it again. They can be forgiven and they can have a new life. They can be what?
Forgiven.
And have a what?
New life.
I'm going to give you the same challenge. There is a life in your world that needs to know your Jesus. I don't know their names, but you know their names. You know one person in your life that you have influence over that you can connect to Jesus Christ. I'm not backing off. I'm not stepping back as one of the pastors that's been called to you. That name ought to know Jesus before we get to this time next year. So what are you expecting, Pastor? 4,000 people to lead somebody to the Lord? Absolutely. See, here's what y'all want me to do. Y'all want me to jump up and down over 500 baptisms when I know there's 4,500 or 5,000 baptisms here a year? Now, we're stepping it up. And every time we step it up at Hillview, guess what happens? It's gone on for 18 years. Every time we step up into what of God doing great things, guess what's always going to happen? Freddie, what's going to happen? Huh? Go ahead and say it loud. Everybody can hear it. You're going to have opposition. Every time you're going to do something great for God, you're going to have opposition. Write that down. Every time I do something great in the name of Jesus, something's going to oppose me. It's called a devil. And he'll show up in people you love. That doesn't mean those are bad people. It just means that they happen to be opposition for a minute. And guess what? People will always leave. They'll always leave when something great's fixing to happen. Now, previously, in traditional church, what I was supposed to do as a pastor is chase down everybody that left and go babysit them and go run down the road and see how their emotional makeup was hurt and how bad they were and go pat them on the head, give them a lollipop, and invite them back to church. If you've been to Hillview, I'm never going to do that. I'm an old coach. And if you don't want to play, sit on the bench. And if you don't want to sit on the bench, go home. Because great things are going to happen without you.
Amen.
And the only reason we've had all this church chaos for 100 years is there's been a bunch of sissified pastors that didn't have enough guts to stand on the Word of God and say the church is not about flesh, it's not about personalities, it's not about who's pleased, it's about an almighty God who sent His Son Jesus to be crucified and is resurrected, and that message will change the world. You better get committed to that. Amen? I got to preach just a minute. We're committed to something and connected to something that won't be taken away. Our first connection. Jesus wants to forgive you and love you and be in you. Amen? Second connection. We're in it together. Look at your neighbor. Grab their hand and say, I'm with you. Come on, I'm with you. Mark, I'm with you. I'm with you, Lucy. I'm with you, cowboy. I'm with you, Ed. I'm with you. Now tell them, even if you don't like me. Now, good, you say, some of y'all do this sometimes. You say, Pastor, why do you do stuff like that? Because I want us to understand real community. Montrose, all of your life, you've been building and moving mountains. Amen? You followed the Bible. And Jesus said you could have a faith in mustard seed. And you said, I'll tell you what, I'll take a greater in prayer and we'll move it. As you were working together, did you have some people that didn't like each other? Absolutely. But that did not interfere with the mission of plowing that road, did it? Same in church. We all got a responsibility. It's like being on a football team. Nobody likes linebackers. There are people on the football team according to position that don't get along. Like receivers don't usually get along with defensive linebackers. Why? Here's what receivers have to do in a football practice. They do that 100 times. You know what linebackers do in a football practice? Hit, 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 hit. Next session. Hit, hit, huh? Sometimes they get a rub at each other, but guess what? It takes both to win the game. Then there's quarterbacks. They get to wear a red shirt. So nobody hits them in practice. But it takes what? On a baseball team, you got to have a catcher and an outfielder. On a hockey team, you got to have a goalie and the people that can skate real well. Huh? Huh? In church, let me ask you a question. Do you think God's called you to be here at Hillview? If God's called you to be here at Hillview, don't you think your personality is supposed to be here at Hillview? And that personality has a distinct place in the overall mission of this church. There's somebody in your life you can connect to Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear the truth. You can do it a lot better than I can. Because you know them and you have influence with them and they already like you. And it's your job and it's my job that together we do that. Amen? Y'all getting this? So the second thing we connect to is we're community. The third thing we connect to, we got to get down to what is true. Truth to remember. It's true you can be forgiven. That ought to drive us, folks. I don't know about y'all, but that's what gets me excited on Sunday morning. I don't know how I'd preach if I just had to look at everybody and go, well, some of you are going to get saved. Some of you are going to get saved. Some of you, God loves enough to save, and others of you, God's just said, go to hell. What would scare me about that theology? I don't know which one I am. I like the real truth. The truth is, Jesus said, whosoever will, I will. And so I want to open the church up to all the whosoevers. Amen? Now hold on. When you open your doors open to whosoever, it gets really messy. Now, if you're looking for a neat, organized church, we're not it. If you're looking for a church that believes God can save anybody, we're it. Now that causes chaos. And some of y'all been at church a long time, it's going to freak you out a little bit. There's words here that you're very familiar with. You might hear them in the parking lot. You might see international signs in the parking lot. But you know what? That's where people start. That's not where they finish. But we better open the doors of the church with a loving enough heart that people can start. Amen? Amen. How many of you all aren't what you used to be? Because you started following who? Okay, now you got the key of the church. Welcome people. Now, the big H in the vision, y'all see the big H? That's important. We have a responsibility to be healthy. Let me give you three things that denote spiritual health. First of all, God gets the glory. Write these down. God gets the glory. God gets the glory. Second thing that promotes health, you can be honest in your life. You know where God's doing real good things in your life, and you know what your weaknesses are. And here's the third sign of maturity. You can say you're sorry. You want to meet a real mature believer, they can always say, I'm sorry. I didn't line up where I needed to on this issue, and we need to make an adjustment. And you know why people who can say I'm sorry are real mature? Is because they know who's in charge. People that don't know who's in charge can never say, I'm sorry. I got a lot of people in my life I've watched them make major mistakes, and I've got people in my life I've never one time heard say, I'm sorry, I didn't do the right thing here. Now, one of the things you're going to hear from the pastors is, guess what? We're going to make some good decisions in 08, and guess what else is going to happen? We're going to make some bad decisions. We're going to make some decisions that we'll never make again, because we're going to learn those aren't the decisions to make. But isn't that the way life is? So we're going to be real about it. That's called being healthy. And the next thing that we want you to embrace at Hillview, we believe people can be healed. And we've seen people be healed. Amen? Pam, you whipped that cancer, what, it was almost 30 years ago, wasn't it? Or 25 years ago. And they didn't have any of the technology. And they told Pam she wasn't supposed to be living. The Lord had a different intention to her. She was on the pulpit committee that put this crazy thing together 18 years ago. But the doctor said what? He wasn't going to make it when it first happened, didn't he? Now, how many of y'all glad to know that doctors aren't in charge? And listen, I know I got doctors in the house here. We love you guys, okay? I love doctors. I'm all for doctors. Please, go be a doctor. We need you. Guess what, though? But I want you to be a doctor that's very honest. God uses you as a part of His healing hand. I want to go to a doctor that knows they're an instrument of God's hand. Amen? And it's okay. Sometimes the doctor heals. I want the whole package when I get sick. I want the doctor, the Holy Ghost, anointing oil, bring me everything. And then here's the great news I got. Even if I die, I win. See, I think we ought to loosen up. The worst thing that could happen to those of us who follow Jesus is we die and go to heaven. Remember that if anybody ever pulls a gun on you. See, what you're going to do is you're going to shoot me, and I'm going to die and go to heaven. Now, if I take that gun away from you and shoot you, where are you going to end up? See, it's a chance to witness. And if you're not a believer, I got everything to gain and you got everything to lose. Now, hold on. Think about this for a minute. If we didn't fear death and started living life, how much would that change who we are in the church? See, it's to give out life. We do believe in healing here at Hillview, so don't let that shake you. And it happens sometimes. And you say, well, I prayed over so-and-so and they died. Sometimes they die. Here's the difference. Here's the difference at Hillview. We're willing to be really honest. You know, I don't know. I do not have the answer to why sometimes people are prayed over, they're healed, and sometimes people are prayed over and they die. I do not have the answer to that. I have the follow Jesus thing. Jesus said, you pray for the sick. You leave the answers to me. Okay. Well, I'm just going to do what he said. Amen. I mean, you got to get honest with that. That's tough. Third thing is this. We got to develop into a kingdom of players. Now, you know, it's our vision. Watch this. You say, well, how come you just don't say members? Church members just bore me. How many of y'all have been just a church member? I just think membership doesn't work. You know what I mean? I mean, we've had all these church members. I mean, I used to get calls when I started pastoring, and people called and said, I was a member of that church. I mean, I didn't know their name. I didn't know where they were from. They hadn't been there in like 50 years, and they considered themselves a member. What other organization can you join and be a member without doing anything other than the church? Whoever created that system was a weak individual. That's not the biblical sense. The church is those who are participating in the faith. And the non-church are those who do not participate in their faith, whether they make an occasional presentation, production or not. Let me tell you what. I mean, really get it to the bottom line. God really doesn't care where you got your little card parked that says you're a member of the church. Such and such place. That's way overrated. And I know a lot of y'all, I don't want nobody to get thumped on the day of judgment. Y'all going to go back and try to find the church clerk to show God that you've been there? He knows where you've been. See, once again, let me show you. Arrogance is what we've fought in the life of the American church. That our card's greater than God's message. That our church structure is greater than what Jesus has said. The only way a life can change is Jesus enter that life. Amen? So I want you to be players. Well, what are some things we're going to do? Connect people to Jesus. We got to do that on a regular basis. Let me give you three places of Scripture. If I can find my Bible. Where is it? No, I need my Bible because I have it tagged. Thank you, though, Elizabeth. First place I want you to go, three places in the Scripture that line up His vision. Everybody clear here? Have I been clear this morning? Please say no and I'll do it again, okay? You've got to understand this. Guess what? Randall, guess what I expect out of you this year? I expect some old golf buddy of yours that doesn't know Jesus to come to know Jesus because you led him there. And if I was to expect anything less of that as your pastor, I'm not much of a pastor. That make sense? So when y'all think I'm crazy, I'm not being crazy. I'm just telling you, this could really happen. Chuck, it could really happen. By the way, Chuck, thanks for working with little kids. I found it's easier to get them at 4 than 14. They listen better at 4. Because you can still act like God. Do you realize I could kill you, boy? See, they get that. They get that. God is in charge better at 14. And when they're 14, you're going, all right, boy. See what I'm saying? How many of y'all realize we got a generation to reach? We got a lot of kids in the church. We got a lot of pregnant women in our church. One of the things that people do well with at Hillview is be fruitful and multiply. Well, that's great. I think that's God intended. I think God's given us a lot of preschoolers because he's wanting them raised in his ways. All right? I want to give you three things that Jesus said that shaped this vision in my mind. The first one, guess what Jesus did in Luke 10? Follow this. He sent them out. Here's what he said. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Therefore, go, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. Connect. I believe that's something we need to do in the name of Jesus. Go. Connect. In your field. Do y'all realize if everybody here wins one, that's literally about 5,000 people that come to know the Lord in 08. Now, I know that sounds pretty cool right now. You go, oh, man, well, that could really happen. That'd be really neat. Mm-hmm, uh-huh, mm-hmm. About March, we'll be so into what we're doing, we'll forget what we're supposed to be doing. I'm going to ask you all to quit doing something. Quit being so busy at nothing. How many of y'all spend hours of your life doing stuff that nobody really cares about but you? Of course we do. I do too. I'm telling you, I have the same disease you all have. I'm an American that's been conned from the beginning of my life. When I took my first breath, they all told me it was about me. When I played Little League, they told me if I performed well, then I'd get recognition. Then they told me through the education system, if I made a higher score, I was smarter. Now, there's a con job. I found out there were a lot of higher scores that tried to manage me that were dumb as bricks. All they could do is read and write well and lead little. Maybe there's more to it than this. It's what I'm trying to tell you. It's about what Jesus has said. So some of you are going to be sent out. Now note, two by two. God doesn't send solo cowboys out or cowgirls. Be careful of people who come in this congregation and begin to tell you how they've got the kingdom all figured out and they're going, Yahoo, lead you away. Ask them who they're connected to. And if they can't be connected to anybody, your antenna ought to go up and go, why? Because it is unbiblical to not be in community. God doesn't call solo Donald Trumps out in his kingdom. That's the world's kingdom. He sent them out two by two under his authority. Why? The fields are what? Plentiful. Floyd, there's 67,000 people still unchurched in Warren County. Does that not blow you away? And you fixed about half their cars. Fixed a whole lot of them. You can't go to Floyd's without getting your car fixed and a word from the Lord. Isn't that true? Can't go in there. I mean, if you don't want a chance of being saved, you better go somebody else's garage. Because Floyd's more worried about your eternal destiny than he is your car getting back on the road. Isn't that the truth, Floyd? Yeah, there's better Bible studies on the counter of Floyd's than there is in most churches. Truth sets you free. Amen? Amen. Now look at this. Second thing, heal people as you go. Heal people as you go. Go with me to Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us or mercy on us. Heal us. Live such a Jesus-style life in this congregation that people know they can come here and find healing. You say, well, there's not people like that in today's time. Oh, I take issue with you. In love. There's a lot of people wondering, can God heal me of my addictions? Can I ever get over this emotional woundedness? We ought to be a church where people can say, will Jesus have mercy on us? And what's our answer going to be? Yes, you can get better at heal of you. Bottom line. Okay? And then I want you to go with me to John chapter 13, verse 34. Here's the bottom line. I know you're playing like Jesus wants you to play. You're being who Jesus wants you to be. Now, how many of us, we're going to have prayer time right now here at the altar. How many of you can make this commitment to Jesus this year? Lord, I'm going to connect people. I'm going to be a part of creating healthy community. I'm going to learn some more truth in my life no matter what I'm doing. I'm going to work on the things that need to be healed in me. How many of y'all got some stuff that needs to be healed in you? Last year I had to commit anger to God. Sometimes I can just get peeved. Anybody got an anger issue? I get ticked for nothing. It's horrible. It's not godly. Like, God, I'm trying to work on it. It got better second part of the year, so guess what's one of my things in 08? I want God's grace to come out of me and not Steve Ayer's angry moments. Because guess what angry moments do? They disconnect people from Jesus. How many of y'all ever just say stuff without thinking? There's something to work on. God, I wonder how that made that other human being feel. How many of y'all are blurters? You just blurt. You just blurt stuff out before you think. Well, guess what you could work on in 08? God, help me not to be a blurter. Help me think. Help me pray before I speak. Jesus, what should I say to this person? You know why we blurt? Because we think everybody wants to hear what we got to say. Y'all remember me blow you away? Most people don't want to hear a thing you got to say. They want you to hear what they got to say. That's why we don't get anything done anymore. Listen to what people are saying, but listen to Jesus first. Now here's what he said. John 13:34. Put it on screen if we got it. John 13:34. A new command I give you. How many of y'all realize we're under a new flow? Say, I'm under a new flow. I'm a new flow. This attitude works. Love one another as I have loved you. Love them like Christ is loving you. Guess what? I know I'm probably getting late. I'm not that late. I got a couple minutes here. Look at here. How many of y'all realize we got to forgive one another? Now listen, guys, listen to me. If we really kick this up in our congregation, there is a life that we get to live that's second to none. You and I got to love like Christ is loved. Guess what? Does Jesus forgive us when we mess up? How many of y'all have messed up on the same thing more than once? Hello. What does Jesus say? You're done, go to hell? Or does he say, come on, we're going to get better? Okay, same thing to others. You know why a lot of you can't forgive? Because you've never been forgiven. A bitter soul is a testimony to tell you you don't know Jesus. A bitter soul. Because there's no way to have a resurrected Lord in a bitter soul. It can't be done. Because what does Jesus do to our soul? Changes it. Frees it. I'm not saying you're not going to have struggles, but you're going to keep working at it, and you're going to keep staying at it. And what you're going to know is one day you're going to be glorified in Christ. Y'all hearing me? But you got to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. And know that He has. And then step into the power of the resurrection and begin to live out the love He's given us. I love you. But guess what? Watch this. I love you as your pastor. Now guess where that'll take you? Nowhere. Other than you feel good. You can say, Pastor Steve loves me. If that's all you got, you're going to hell. You all see the truth of this? You say, well, my mama loves me. Well, your mama always loves you. But guess what? That won't get you to heaven. He said, love one another as I have loved you, says Jesus. And look at the last part of this verse. You want the world to know Jesus? Here's the key that unlocks the door. Look at this. As I have loved you, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Don, this is where we've missed it. Can I borrow your Bible?
Sure.
Here's what we think. We think if we can spout off verses out of here, people will know we're His disciples. Well, that just brought you up to Pharisee status. The Pharisees could quote the Torah. They knew how to quote Bible verses. They could give you the verse. Well, they didn't have verses back then, but they could give you the line. And they could give you all the laws, and they could tell you all the religious systems. And Jesus said they were whitewashed tombs. But He said this. He said, if you do this, if you love them as I have loved you, by this all men will know that you are My disciples. If you do what? Love one another. Amen? All right, I'm finished. Any questions? Coach, you got any questions? That's what Coach does to us before we go out. Anybody got any questions? It's real simple. Let's do it. Let's be it. Let's become it. Ready? Somebody needs your life to connect them to Jesus. Have y'all heard that today? Somebody. Soldier, you got to connect with these soldiers. Got it, soldier? You thought you came back home and you were off mission. No, you're on mission. You're on a greater mission. You understand that as a soldier, don't you? As a Marine. Yes, I'll help you. I'll get Shane. As a Marine. Did you hear that, Lieutenant Shane? As a Marine. As a Marine, do you go on mission? And what's the expectation? Accomplish the mission. Now, I don't have any different expectation than the Marine Corps of the United States. I believe the church has a mission to connect people to Jesus Christ, and I believe we're to accomplish it. And so we got to do what it takes to make that happen. Connect people to Jesus. Be healthy. Be healthy. Be healthy. Think about some things you need to get rid of and some things you need to let emerge in your life. And then develop. Allow God to shape you. Now, how many of you are going to take the big five and you're going to try to whittle out the vision? Here's what I'm saying. Let God's vision this year cut away from you what you don't need so that He can be seen through connecting, healing, and developing. Amen? At least give me this. How many of y'all understand this in concept? Six of you. Seven. That's okay. Six gets us halfway around the world. See, I'm dealing with God. Here's where y'all, watch this. You know what? Not too many people really bought into Hillview in the beginning, but enough did. And you know what God began to teach me? Democracy's a farce. I think the day the church turned away from God's the day it had its first vote. Because the day we had the first vote in the church, we said, we're smarter than God. The day we looked at a congregation and said, whatever 51% of us decides is what God said, is the day we led the church into error. Because if you really look at the Bible, it's never about a vote. It was about those who would follow. And they were always a few. A remnant is always enough. Isn't that cool, Bobby? God always has enough that'll follow. So I'm asking you to be some of those that are willing to do what? Follow. Which is, and if we have 10,000 follow, we're still in a small number. But we got enough in the name of Jesus to make it happen. Amen? Amen. So that's what I want you to see. All right, well, let's stand together. I want y'all to begin to pray. You can come onto the altar right now as I speak. There's some people here today that need to invite Christ into their life. Wow, what a first Sunday in the new year if this was your confession. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I need to be saved. I want to know You, God. I want to know Your love and Your truth. You invite Him in your life if that needs to happen today. If you need to be baptized, why don't you let that happen today? Lord Jesus, I believe in You and I want to be baptized in You. Maybe that needs to happen today. All right, let's get the sandpaper out. Some of you followers of Jesus, how many of y'all got some issues you need to bring in this altar and say, God, I'm going to commit this to You in my life as a follower. Sand that out this year. Hone that out in me. shape me, work in me, live in me. Thank you, honey. Make it happen in me. All right, in the name of Jesus, God, do your work. I want you to pray. Come on. There's not enough of you up here yet. Those that need to come up here, I want you to all just come on up here. And let's pray together as a church that God's going to do things we've never seen. I tell you what activates this vision is the power of prayer. And in the power of prayer, many things get changed. Come on. Come on. Come on.